Here is the second of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs. This one made possible by Bailey Insurance Services. To Washington, D.C. and Bob Costantini.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, John and Robin. We have a bit of breaking news out of Capitol Hill, actually, at the moment. Speaker Mike Johnson has decided that he has a plan and put forth a plan in front of Republicans to provide, perhaps piecemeal, from what we understand, the foreign aid package that President Biden wants to send, first off, to Israel and to Ukraine and Taiwan and other Indo-Pacific nations that may be fearing China's expansionist tendencies there. So he presented that package, and then right away this morning, the one other member of the House GOP conference, and this is Thomas Massie out of Kentucky, has said he will sign on to Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate the chair, which is the procedure that was used to oust Kevin McCarthy as speaker. So the Ukraine aid especially is upsetting to a lot of conservative Republicans, the most conservative Republicans in the House of Representatives, and they're well aware that former President Trump doesn't think sending aid to Ukraine is a good idea because they're in a war with Russia, and so we'll see how this plays out. But it automatically means basically that the Speaker, if he puts forth the aid to Ukraine and the and perhaps other parts of this package, that it will have to have a lot of Democratic support. And that is what Marjorie Taylor Greene especially is upset about with keeping government open, as we have discussed previously. And Johnson's been weighing his options. And by the end of this week, we should know whether this is going to succeed. Yet Chuck Schumer's response on the Senate side this morning was apparently, we'll have to wait and see if it comes over in a piecemeal fashion. And what other things are Republicans going to throw into this? There's talk of a TikTok ban, an outright TikTok ban, having to be part of this legislation. Will that fly in the Senate, where they've not, where they're not taking up the TikTok ban that the House passed already? A nationwide ban that the House has approved, including with a lot of Democrats. The Senate's not taking that up. Will the Senate go along with this piecemeal approach, et cetera, et cetera? But Ukraine is in desperate need of aid, and Republicans believe that, especially with that package, that they can win some concessions and maybe force the president to sign some parts of legislation he doesn't want to sign.
But is this, does this have the possibility of shutting down Congress while they decide whether they're going to keep the speaker or select another?
Well, it has a possibility, yes. It has a possibility, obviously, of creating another scenario where the House is speakerless. And the question is, will Democrats come to Johnson's support if it comes to this, as far as a motion to vacate the chair is concerned, with the margins so tiny as it is? The you know, it's only going to take, if all Democrats were to vote to, you know, basically sit on their hands and vote to remove the speaker, vote for the motion to vacate, as they did with Kevin McCarthy, by the way, then Johnson Johnson's toast.
Sure.
Probably. Because the margin is so small, it's only three seats at this point, but because that margin is so small, there are factors that can come into play about some people not voting and what the majority would be, and some Republicans maybe not voting. It's hard to say, but it looks likely, obviously, with two Republicans saying that they would vote to remove Johnson then he's going to have to rely probably on a handful of Democrats at least to come to his rescue.
Now, Bob, out here in the real world where I live,
where's that?
Yeah, I'm wondering if, you know, we hear all this stuff, all of these threats to vacate and bills. Are there any bills getting passed? Is there any legislation being done on behalf of the people of the United States, or is this all that's going on?
Well, what they have done, obviously, is keep government funded. Oh. And there is a FISA renewal, Foreign Aid Surveillance Act renewal, that has been approved in the House of Representatives and sent over to the Senate. So those are things that have been done. Beyond that, it's mostly renaming post offices and the like, what you would expect.
Yeah.
There's a tax bill that's been kicked around at the moment. But no, it is hard to see a lot of other legislation that American people would probably want. I may be missing something here along the way, but it's the supplemental aid packages. And you have to factor in the fact that Israel was attacked over the weekend by a series of, 300-plus drones over the weekend. Israel was attacked by Iran directly. Does that, the House is probably going to take up a measure of support, expressing support for Israel, and that should be approved, but it carries absolutely no weight. As far as this supplemental aid that the president, that was a total of $16 billion the president wants to send to Israel. He is at odds at times with Netanyahu, but the United States was there, of course, when those drone attacks occurred. And Israel is not likely to turn the other cheek on this one, even if, as a lot of people speculate, that Iran was sending these slow-going drones and some missiles that it knew could possibly be shot down by Israel. Nothing that would be all that dangerous to Israel. I guess I shouldn't say that, but clearly Iran was aware of the capabilities that Israel has, coupled with the United States, Jordan, Saudi Arabia helping out apparently in detecting these drones and making sure that they never did any serious damage in Israel, and apparently they didn't, from what we understand. But Israel's not going to turn the other cheek. There will probably be some kind of retaliation, whether it's military or cyber. Israel will probably do something in response to this attack directly from Iran, because that's the first time Iran has done that kind of thing, versus using proxies it has in the region, in the Middle East, that it's been using to attack Israel. I mean, Hezbollah, Hamas, obviously, but also the Houthis involved in Yemen and other militant groups that have actually attacked U.S. installations in Iraq and Jordan and in Syria. We know that three Americans lost their lives in a Jordan attack. So. Yeah. The Israelis are not going to turn the other cheek, I guess is the best way to put this. But that's where it was important to show Israel over the weekend that the United States at least had Israel's back when it comes to an attack from Iran.
Okay, now the interesting dynamic in my mind is neither Israel nor Ukraine are NATO members, but they are part of this domino effect that could happen if we don't support one or the other or both. And yet both sides are spending tons of money. You know, maybe there does need to be some sort of de-escalation talks.
Well, in the Middle East, obviously, you can look at it that way. And I'm sure that President Biden, when he spoke with Netanyahu over the weekend, did express that, it was an attack, but it was almost a show kind of thing on the part of Iran. And again, I don't want to diminish it, because if any of those drones had gotten through, mm-hmm. and some of them were slow-moving drones that had lights on them, but if any of them had gotten through, so certainly some people in Israel might have been killed.
Yeah.
But you also have to throw into this, what does this mean as far as our stance with Ukraine? How does it look if the United States is willing to help Israel and not help Ukraine in a really hot war, a severe war that Ukraine is struggling to maintain against Russia? How does that play out? Democrats are certainly willing to help Ukraine. And does that mean they're willing to help keep Speaker Johnson in the speakership? It's politics at play here, and domestic politics for us, domestic politics for Israel, and, you know, I guess domestic politics in Ukraine as well. But the Ukraine is perhaps in the most danger at this point, if nothing is done from the U.S. to help them.
Bob, if we could fast forward now to Midtown Manhattan and the drama that's playing out there. I think the big question I have, is it even going to be possible to convene a jury here?
Yeah. Well, they figure they can. There's another 100 jurors waiting in the wings today to possibly be part of the jury pool, that are part of the jury pool, if you will. And possibly become one of 12 jurors they need to select, as well as 6 alternates needed they need to select in this case against Donald Trump for the what amounts to the hush money payment to Stormy Daniels, and how it was carried out and the paper trail that was left there. The president, the former president, once again making a statement as he walked into the court today. He's upset that the judge, Juan Merchan, yesterday would not allow him to at least take a day off. And this is apparently on April 25th or the week of April 25th, when the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to hear Donald Trump's claims of absolute immunity for actions taken as president, being, you know, not subject to criminal charges for actions taken while he was president. And that strikes at the heart of the election subversion case in Washington, at least. Jack Smith's case against him about trying to overturn the 2020 election, and which also, by the way, doesn't have a lot to do with January 6th. It has to do with other things. But the former president is upset. He said, quote, he, meaning the judge, thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We got a real problem with this judge. And also during the initial day of jury selection Monday, the part of the prosecution team, Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney's team there, asked that Mr. Trump be held in contempt of court because he had made a sleazebag, used the term sleazebag to describe Stormy Daniels, as well as Michael Cohen, his former fixer who made the original payment to Stormy Daniels and who is now likely to appear as a witness in this case against Donald Trump. So, again, as I said yesterday, the salaciousness and tabloid nature of it all is fun to watch and everything else. But this really is a case about a paper trail kind of case that Alvin Bragg has tried to build, whether or not he can get felony convictions for a hush money payment and as an illegal campaign contribution. That's still going to be a big question mark. But to your original point, they figure sooner or later they'll find 12 jurors who are willing to put aside what we all think, everybody thinks, whatever we think of Donald Trump, and put aside that to maybe render a verdict one way or the other.
That would be the question, and that's my next question. Does it have to be a unanimous jury decision?
Yes. Oh, yes. This is a criminal case. And in New York, just like every place else I know, as far as I know, it has to be unanimous. In civil cases, it's different. There can be a majority of jurors. But this is in New York State for a criminal case like this. It has to be 12 guilty verdicts if you're going to find someone guilty. And obviously, the Trump team hopes it can find maybe one or two jurors who will steadfastly refuse to go along with this. And they'll be weighing the jurors individually. They get, this is great, they get a half hour each to question individual jurors. On top of what the judge did yesterday was to say, anybody who believes that they can not be, that they can't be impartial in this case, raise your hand. And half of the jurors, more than half of the jury pool, was dismissed. So there are, and some others were dismissed on other things, from what I understand. But this is according to the reporting coming from inside the courtroom there. There's no cameras allowed during the actual case. So it's going to take a while if they think they have enough of a jury pool. And again, there's 100 others that they're going to bring into the courtroom perhaps today and start asking them the same basic question and dismissing probably a bunch of them again today if it gets to that.
Ken, I found the jury juror questionnaire of 42 questions, and I don't know if they have to fill this out before they're even appearing or if it's all verbally asked, but my question is, they had 100 jurors yesterday and dismissed some. When do they get it narrowed down to where the prosecution or the defense side can just ask for somebody to be dismissed,
Yeah. Well, they're probably at that stage already, really, once the judge starts asking questions. And you point out, so Robin, there's 42 questions. And that is far and away, I think, what a lot of the legal experts you hear commenting on cable channels, it's far and away more than any other case they've ever seen and witnessed. And that's where the lawyers for each side will be watching the demeanor of people. And the judge asks these questions. And if he asks them relatively quickly, they'll still be watching for the demeanor of the person, the potential juror, how that person responds. Does the person take a long time to respond or think about it? Depending obviously on what question it is, the wording of the question is important as well. A number of the questions deal with, have you ever attended a Trump rally? Well, obviously, if someone has attended a Trump rally, that person's going to be viewed very skeptically by the prosecution. So if there are, and it's Manhattan too, so there's going to be a lot of people who might respond the other way. And if that person says, oh God, I would never attend a Trump rally, that's obviously going to be a warning sign for the defense. So how it all plays out, and it would be great to be inside there and watching all of this play out, but in the end, the reporting coming out of this will probably have to be, shortened a little bit versus juror number one question this way or juror number two and all that. So it'll be interesting, but the defense team and the prosecution will be. We'll probably have jury experts on their side as well inside the courtroom, but they'll be watching the demeanor of the jurors as they answer those 42 questions and then any follow-up questions that they might be able to ask.
Bob, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for the drill down this morning.
Right. And talk to you tomorrow. Take care, guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.